And we're good to go. Okay. Fine. So we're in Perek Dalet, just in case you didn't remember. We're talking about the different types of money that a person gets, the mistakes we make, the understanding of why we have this money, the nisoin that comes with that money. And now he's going to deal with something that's very prevalent today, something that is very, very prevalent today. And that is somebody who wants money, not because of anything to do with it, but because it gives him covered. There's two big Yetzer horrors, and that is covered and taiva. If a person goes for taiva, that's what's driving him, he'll come to an end where he'll have had enough. Taiva, eventually, you can only eat so much honey, you know, and then eventually it makes you sick. Covered has no end. Covered has no end. The first three goluses, what Dessler points out, were goluses of taiva. That's where they ended. Each one ended at its particular time. The golus we're in, the golus of Edom, is a golus of covered. And that has no end. And there Yaakov saw the malach going up and up and up and up and up, and he didn't come down. And Chelisha said, so what's going to be? Hashem said, don't worry, I'll bring him down. I'll take care of him. That's the golus we're in. It's a golus of covered more than taiva. I'm not saying there's no taiva. You look at the juggling the king, you'll see we bounce very much between covered and taiva. So the Chovas of Ovis is going to focus here now on those people that go off the money because they want covered. The Yeshmi ibn Adam, Kito, Chainu Mishtadlim, Liknoit Hamom, Laabos, Mene, Elalaabos, a covered Mene Adam. The only reason that these people acquire wealth and they go after it and they toil to get it and to make a fortune is because they want covered from other people. The lies for them shame, and they want to make a name for themselves. They want their names up there. They want people to talk about them and know them. The ein maspik lehem mimenu shum dover. They will never have enough money. These people, because it's covered, as we mentioned, someone's toiling to amass money, not because he wants to use the money. If you use it because you want to use the money, eventually you'll run out of things to do with your money. It's just, you know, how much money can you spend? You know, you can, you know, how many private jets can you have? You know, eventually you'll, and you see people eventually go mad. But if you're doing it for the covered, you'll never be rested. You'll never be at peace because you can never get enough covered. Covered's endless. That's what he's telling you here. It'll never be enough. No matter how much you have, it'll never be enough. Never, ever. It's a terrifying thing to think. It's such a horrible addiction. Was there sichlus mehem? This is the reason why they do this, because he calls it foolishness. He calls it stupidity. Because he's made an error, he's made a miscalculation in evaluating what brings true covet in this world and the world to come. Those in the world to come here. He's going to explain what this is about now. He's going to talk this out. Why do people think that when you have money, you will then have covered? Why do they think that money brings covered? Because they see that simple people, the Amir Aretz, whatever he calls them, I don't know what you would, common people, whatever, the man in the street, they give a lot of honor to people that have got money. We also get caught in that trap. They give covered to people that have got money. They give them lots of things. And they don't realize that the reason why these people give them honor is not because of the covet. It's not because of the covet. The chemda mash yesh etzlam. It's because they want what the wealthy people have. Why do people give wealthy people covet? Because they think that they're honorable. I give him covet because he's a very honorable person. No, he's not. He's not a very honorable person. Why do you give him covet? Because you want him to share some of his wealth with you. He wants what they've got. And he hopes to draw some of it to himself. If I get very friendly with this person and I butter him up and I flatter him and I treat him nicely, then he'll give me money. I'll be able, you know, maybe he'll take me to one of his businesses. Maybe he'll share with me the next big deal, whatever. So he's not nasty because of comfort. He doesn't care about this guy. That's a terrible error that people make. They go, the guy wants your money, not you. He's not interested in a relationship with you. He's not honoring you at all. He just pretends to give you COVID because that way maybe he'll get your money. So that's a terrible error. That's why very wealthy people have a hard time making friends. They have a terrible time making friendships because they never know who they can trust. Can I trust you? Can't you trust me? They know this as well. They also know that people aren't sincere, that people are just being nice to them because they want their money. It's not possible. So people that try and get money out of people that have got money, they're missing out on the first principle here. Go back to your basic first principles. The first principle is nobody can give you or take away anything from you, which Akash Bocha wasn't going to say that that's going to happen. So you can flatter this millionaire until you blew in your face. Okay, if Hashem's not going to give you the money, he's not going to give you the money. He's just not going to give it to you because my mother cashed it to this man. Why are you flattering him? He's got no koyach to give you money or not give you money. It comes from Hashem. I'm saying this. I don't see him saying this. Well, if you've got a bit of betochen, doing someone who has some betochen, when somebody wealthy comes to you and you want to flatter him, whatever, ask yourself, is this valid ishtadlus? That's all. I don't have to make money, I have to make ishtadlus. So going and flattering this guy and being nice to him and going and being all whoopy-whoopy, whatever, that's called ishtadlus? It's not called ishtadlus, just treat him normally. Treat him normally. There's a big gvir in South Africa, big gvir. And he said there was a certain Rosh Yeshiva that used to come every year. He said, there's only Rosh Yeshiva that I really feel like I want to give money to. So I said, why? He's because the only guy that doesn't try and flat him and butter it up. When he comes in, he gives me musi, he tells me what a bum I am. He tells me that I'm wasting my life because I'm not learning. He says, that guy I feel I can give money to because he's telling the truth. He said, everybody else comes in, they're so nice to me and so sweet to me. They tell me what a tzaddik I am and how wonderful I am. He said, you know, so why are they saying that? Because they believe it is not true. So they do because they want my money. He said, so it's hard to give their money. This particular Rosh Yeshiva, he used to come in there and give it to me. He said, so him I respect and him I want to help. So that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What are you doing? What are you butchering this guy up? You're all sweet. You have to be nice to him. I'm not saying that. You have to be nice to everybody and you have to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu and say, thank you. We'll see. We'll go through all the dinim about to flatter him. And when he says something that's stupid, you tell him he's talking nonsense. Tell him, excuse me, what you said is Narishka. No, no, don't say that. We won't give you a check. He can't give you a check or not give you a check, no matter what the law of it. He can't give you a check. That's the first principle in Betochen. Is no one can take anything away from you. So these people make a terrible error. They don't have to, but Hashem, a person understands. He wants Hashem. No one deserving of it in their eyes. The only person that really is deserving of honor, should be deserving of honor, is somebody who's a Baal B'tochen. The only people that he gives cover to is a person that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has identified as somebody that's got praiseworthy midas and is a person that has qualities that Hashem, the Torah, identifies as being someone who's due to them covered. So before you start giving COVID to people, he's got money. The Torah doesn't have to give COVID to people that have got money. The Torah says you've got to give people to COVID who the Torah says you've got to give COVID to. And you have to take out Hilchos Talmud Torah. You've got to learn and see who you stand up for. You don't stand up for you. Those are the things that Hashem values. This person that you're giving COVID to, is he fitting to be given COVID by the Boir Olam? It says in the Pasuk in Shmuel, to those who honor me, those people who honor me, I honor them. It means who's deserving of honor? Someone who gives cover to Hashem. And these people are running around giving cover to people that have got money, and the people that are getting covered because of their money think that the more money they have, the more covered they'll get. And it's all very gewaldic. It's fantastic. It's very, very nice, but... Rav Shach said the biggest fear he had was getting COVID. He said there was nothing worse than getting COVID because every COVID you get in this world takes away from your COVID in Olam Haba. That's what he said. It's not a posh thing. So now, once again, we're dealing not with the person who's making the money because he wants the kavod. We're focusing on the person who's flattering and being nice to other people, chanifa, because he wants to have kesher with this guy that's got money. These simple people, they act stupidly in honoring wealthy people with all sorts of different kind of kavod they give them, in a hope that they'll get some of that for themselves. Hashem adds to them. You want to be stupid? Hashem says, fine, I'll give you as much as you want. In regard to the various avenues they employ to attain their goal, they get caught up in expending an enormous amount of energy and effort all their days in trying to get money. They're looking off the money and honor, and they're trying to get more money and more covered. They neglect, obviously, what they're really supposed to be dealing with. They forget to fulfill the obligations that Hashem has placed on them. To thank him for the kindness to them. If they would apply their efforts in this way, so then the goals of money and honor would undoubtedly, they would achieve that also. Says in Divya Yomim that the wealth and honor come from you by giving kavod to Hashem. The more successful person be earning a living and being honored by people. So he's chasing after something that he can't attain. Not only that, but he denigrates himself. He makes a fool of himself. He looks like an idiot. He spends his whole life chasing and running and working for something that doesn't even exist. It's not like you'll get it and you realize it was a waste of time. It doesn't exist. No one's honoring you because of your money. Because of you, because you're worthy of kavod. They honor you because of your money. So you make money, so they honor. What are they honor? They honor the money. You're not getting any kavod. So you waste your life there. Whereas if you just do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do, the kavod would come, the money would come, he would get whatever he needs to live happily. So that's a real serious warning, because we live in that kind of a world. It's very hard to avoid, even if you're not fundraising. I had big nisoinus with this. Big nisoinus. When you're fundraising, you want the relationship. You're trying to reach to the person. You're trying to get his money. And that's what I'm doing. I'm unapologetically trying to get him to give me my money. I said, oh, that's not I'm not pretending. I want his bucks. That's why I'm in his office. That's why I'm phoning him. You know, it's a big nisoin. It takes a long time and a lot of learning. Eventually you get a bit older and you're able to put up, you know, you're able to deal with nisoin. When the guy talks nonsense, you tell him, I think you're talking nonsense. Because Hashem helps you to see that it's got nothing to do with him. But in the early days of when I first started fronting, Shlomo, I don't know if you had the problem, but in the early days, you value the relationship, you value the wealth, and you go, wow, I want to be like him, you know. When you come back from Chutz La'aretz, you hang around these big houses and you see these people with all their wealth and their comfort and all that. It's a big nisoyin. It wasn't posh. And then you open up the Chovos HaLevavos and he sets you straight and he makes you realize you're an idiot. And you go back to basics. That's the most important thing to remember, is always go back to basics. Okay. He's going to deal with something interesting here. Just before we start, the Sefi gives a bit of a Dhamma that's important to remember. It says at the beginning of this, when we started here, let me see what we're sending you to. Just 1 second. I don't remember what he's talking about. 56. When we were talking about Ishtadlus. Just 1 second. We say that a person should be involved in his shtadlus, in jobs and whatever that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prayed for him. How does he know? He has to look at who he is. He's got to look at the kalim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, the intonations, the things he likes, doesn't like, what he's good at, what he has the physical and mental aptitude to deal with. So there the Chovos HaLevavos told us that a person should be involved in his shtadlus. You remember we did this, but it's a good chazara for getting his basic needs. In other words, whatever your basic needs are, whatever your rock bottom is, it could be $1 million a month, I don't mind, whatever it is, but whatever your basic needs are, you should work and make ishtadus for that. And if Hashem decrees you'll have more than that, so then he'll give it to you without you making any extra effort. Remember we said that for the extra money that a person may want or whatever, for that you shouldn't make any ishtadlis, but that will come without the ishtadlis, as long as you have betochen, obviously. So he says you don't need any other ishtadlises or avenues or ways of making money, and you shouldn't rely on them in your life at all. You shouldn't have any trust in them at all. Now he's going to explain, he's going to talk to people who think that the financial wealth, that the stability, the security, financial, whatever they have, the prosperity that they have, comes about through which they obtain their fortunes. It comes from the means to which they obtain their fortunes. In other words, they think it's because they bought the shares, they sold the company, they bought the building. They think that the wealth they're getting is coming through their effort. That's what he's going to deal with now. You'll find amongst those people who are looking for money, these guys want money. You'll find these people, you'll see them around. They're not rare creatures. And they toil. He's achieved his financial goals. He wanted to be a billionaire, and he's a billionaire. But there are chasivas asher zochonu, by ways of whatever the ishtadlusim, the different ways that he made. Some people get it through Yerusha. They didn't make any effort. They got it. They got the money through Yerusha. Or somebody, or other ways, whatever means he got the money. He got the money through some, it looks like through some kind of means. Ve'yachshov ki asibas haynu lo etze. Sorry, chiyuv lo etze. He thinks that this inheritance or this business deal or the sale, whatever, they were needed in order to bring him financial success. That means if it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have got it. Ve'lulahein lo haye megia lav mimenu klum. If his long-lost uncle in New Zealand hadn't died and left him $1 million, he wouldn't have got this money. He thinks that the inheritance is what gave him the money. He thinks that buying this building cheap and selling it expensive, whatever, that's what gave him the money. And he praises the means. He praises the business that he did. Instead of the thing that caused it, what really caused it, what really is behind it, is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the cause. You got an inheritance, you know why? Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give you this money in a million ways. He decided to do it like this. Why? We don't know, but that's how he decided to do it. So now you're very grateful, you're very proud because you knew that this uncle wasn't going to live forever and you knew they had a lot of money. And you made a point of being nice to him and writing him letters and being friendly with him or whatever. So he left you the inheritance. Now you just say, wow, look. Look, look what I did. It was a good move to butter him up and be nice to him. No, you got it because that's what Kosh Bohu decided to get it to you. So why are you praising your entrepreneurship? The Kamal Hudoime Bazeh, now he's going to explain to you why this person's not so clever. The Kamal Hudoime Bazeh, La Adam Shehuba Midbar. What's it word? Hichbid Allah Hatsame. Got a person out there in the desert. And of course, he's parched. He's very thirsty. He finds a pit, a well with water in, and the water is not sweet. A little brackish water, not very nice water. But he's very happy that he found this water to drink, and he fills himself up with this water. He goes a few more meters or whatever, and there he finds beautiful, sweet, fresh, clear, cold water from another well. So now he has charoto, obviously. Why did I drink from myself and fill myself up on all that terrible water when he has beautiful mamash, you know, May Aiden from the spring, you know, like on ice. Well, where did I go take all that terrible water from? If he understood that just a few steps away there was this other beautiful water, he would never have drunk that water. This wealthy person, so what's the nimshal? This person obtained his money through a particular means. let's say that he wasn't able to do this ishtadlus, yeah? He wasn't able to do this deal he was going to do for whatever reason. He would have got the money some other way. He would have got it some other way. So it wouldn't come from this. It would come from somewhere else. Like we said in Peregimel, Moshe Omok, ki ein l'Hashem atzo, lo yishir b'rav u'b'mayit. There's nothing holding Hashem back to give somebody whatever he needs, to save somebody, to give him what he needs, a little bit, a lot. Chasei Hashem ways to get something to a person. Ki ein l'Hashem atzo, lo yishir b'rav u'b'mayit. There's nothing to stop Hashem from saving a person through lots of... So that's a big folly. Not to have any nemonis, any trust in the means you make. In the ishtadlis you make. It's not the ishtadlis that's bringing the panosa. And Hashem shows that to us sometimes. Sometimes Hashem shows it to us very clearly. Other times you have to... It's not so easy to see. As you go through life, man, and that's why, by the way, it's very important to be involved in some kind of ishtadlis for panos. Otherwise, you never see this. If a person just doesn't involve himself in the ways of the world or whatever, he'll never ever break the belief in the ishtadlis. The lashon of deslis uses is you have to take it to break it. You have to do this ishtadlis to realize ishtadlis doesn't do anything. And then. The more you see that, the more ishtadlis you can make, it doesn't bother you. I can't remember, it's a Gemara somewhere, I think Rabbi Yossi, he said, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine. Why is he vinegar, the son of wine? Because his father, he says, was able to go and check his financial dealings and check his properties twice a day. I can only go once a day. But strange, no? He's praising his father's levels. So how comes his father went twice a day and he only can go one day? So he's vinegar and his father's wine. Or was that a shvach? So Rumil explains, Rumil from Gates says, Zatzal explains, is that the father could be involved in going twice a day and making his shtadlis, and it didn't affect his betochen in Hashem. He could go out twice, and no, that had nothing to do with him. The son, if he went out more than once, he would start believing that it had something to do with his shtadlis. So he dare not go more than once. So he has to make less his shtadlis. That's our four kings from the Yalkut Shmoyli. Remember, it fits into that paradigm. David HaMelech does all the ishtadlis because he knows that it's got nothing to do with him. He's completely, completely transparent. When you look at David, you don't see David, you see Hashem. The others had to mamite the ishtadlis in order for Hashem to come into the picture. So that's what a person wants to do. He wants to do everything he can do the ishtadlis, but recognize the ishtadlis doesn't do anything. Obviously, you have to know it's not poshut. Sometimes you have to make less ishtadlis, because if you make too much ishtadlis, you stop believing in the ishtadlis. It's a very personal, very difficult to know how you cheshbon out when and how to make ishtadlis. But today we all make ishtadlis. There's no one living begeda levi today. We're all in some kind of yisuchos vulen, some ishtadlis type of an environment. There's nobody today that can say, I don't need to make any ishtadlis. Maybe there's a Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I don't know if he makes his shtadlis or not, whatever, but certainly, most people today, we have a chiyuv to make his shtadlis. You can't pot yourself from his shtadlis today. Therefore, one needs to know how to deal with it. But it's very important to remember that in the areas where you don't have to make his shtadlis, don't make his shtadlis, because you'll get it anyway. Yeah, we saw, where did we see it once, about the guy who stole the post? Remember, he stole the letter out of the postman's bag. And the letter was meant for him, but he still got arrested. And he waited 15 minutes. He would have got his letter legally. Don't make too much ishtadlis. Okay. What about now? That's all very well when it's going good. When the panos is coming and you have enough and a pulmus suda, this is all, betochen is very easy. To be above a tochen when things are going well, you don't have to be a big genius. What happens if things are not going well? What about when you don't have panosa and you're lacking in income or any of the other areas? Focus on panosa because that's the main one. Well, now what do you do? So now where does the betochen go? We mashirei lebotach alokim betarpoi ki yisakef mimenu haterif yom min hayomim. Somebody does betochen in Hashem, klapei is panosa. So that when the panosa doesn't come at any particular time or whatever, he's tried his best. He's made the ishtadlis. His rov told him, you don't need to make more ishtadlis. This is a valid ishtadlis. So Shiyomi Lebiba, he should say to himself, the one who brought me into this world at a particular time, at a particular moment, particular circumstances, he didn't bring to this world before or after that. He brought me to the world biduk at that time. Who shema akav menu bought tarpoila ace yadua v'yom yadua? In the same way, so he's holding back my panosa until a specific time and a specific day. The day to mashu toivli, because he knows what's best for me. Person's making his ishtadlis. Person's making his ishtadlis. It's great nisht. He's making enough ishtadlis. I mean, he doesn't have charotina. Oh, I should have made more ishtadlis. We're not talking about a person like that. He's made what's called valid ishtadlis. He went, he spoke to his rov. His rov told him, this is what you have to do. I know someone that went to ask Roshach, he was learning in Kailal, and he went to speak to Roshach about the Panos and whatever. Roshach wanted all these bills. He wanted to see how much is the Chashmal every month, how much is the water, what about this, cool fees, whatever. Not just the, yeah, but talking it, you know, I'll call you Hashem Yazor, call the Seder. No, he made a deep cheshbon with the guy. Then told him to start working at night. Forget about Seder Gimel and go get a job. But now you're making enough ishtadlis. When he went back to him about Seder Beit, he said, no, Seder Gimel's enough, you're making enough ishtadlis. Ah, but I don't have panosa. Yeah, because right now Hashem doesn't want to give you panosa now. It'll come later. The same way as a Kodesh Baruch Hu put me into this world at a specific time, not earlier, not later. Why was I born now, not 100 years ago? Because that's what's best for you. So too, the panosa will come sooner, later, whatever, but that's what's best for me. Hashem really wants to give me the panosa now. He really does. There's other cheshbonos which causes him to have to delay it because that's what's best for me. We don't understand that. That we don't understand. But he knows what.
Can I ask a question? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You don't have to ask permission to ask questions, Shlomo. Come on, you've been around me long enough to know that you ask a question, I'm going to blast you if it's, you know, either way. Even if you've got permission to ask a question, you're going to get blasted either way. So why ask?
Okay, so I may as well ask. So the question is that when we were speaking the other day, or a few times ago, about that, you know, a person has to, in terms of the cheshbon, you've mentioned a few times of how you know what are your absolute needs. If you go into the world of the absolute needs, you know, that Hashem is guaranteed to give to you. So for every person in today's world, as you've said, that, you know, it could be different for each person. For one guy, he needs a mansion, and that's called a need. And for another guy, that's a luxury. Or the whatever, one guy needs a car, it's a need. And another guy, it's a luxury. So if a person is a person that the car is a need, or the house is a need, now he finds himself in the situation, I'm bringing in what you're talking about now, the Prophet, about if he's not getting the panasa now. What is the for the guy who it's a need, but he's not getting it now? Is he supposed to now, nevertheless, drop down and minimize, or should he continue living with what is called a need, even though he's not able to come up with the money? Perhaps he needs to lend to keep that standard of need, or should he let go of that and say maybe now it's my time to minimize and go down? Maybe that's what Hashem's teaching me.
Excellent question. Excellent question. I'll just tell you what he brings down here, B'Shem Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says like this. He says, although the Choyva Selavava said earlier that Hashem guarantees every person his daily sustenance. Correct? That's what you said, yeah? That means only that Hashem will always provide him with enough food to remain alive. This is not the Choyva Selavava talking. This is somebody quoting Rav Chaim Kanievsky. That guarantee means what you need to stay alive. It means a car may not be what you need to stay alive. For you, it may be a need, because that's how you get to work. But the guarantee is you'll have enough to live. A person may, however, sometimes have scant provisions. You may have very little stuff. Or you may have to resort to borrowing or accepting gifts. That's what he says. What I found fascinating by this, fascinating, this is what you ask, Shlomo. Nowhere does it say you should cut down. And I think it's poshut. Because if we're talking about your basic needs to live, you can't cut down. because if you would cut down, you die. It means you're at your mamash, your basic need. That's what he's talking about here. So I have to rethink. I have to rethink.
So it's actually interesting because it could be that, how do you know what's an absolute need? Like when you're making that cheshbon, could be you nogea b'davar. And you say, no, I really, really need a car.
No, I'm talking about when you enter off. No, I'm not talking about your negias. Negias is a subject. We have to discuss it. I'm talking about leave the negias out of it. We're trying to understand a principle. But don't make
your kim. If you have no, an you exact without negias.
I had a Talmud. He sat with Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, worked through everything, told him exactly what he's going to be working, what he's going to be doing or whatever. And he went off and he did it. It was a loy gil. He didn't have enough. Now, Rabbi Yaakov didn't say to him, well, listen, you know, all you need is food, you know. Forget about your dairy. You don't have to live in a house. You don't need chashmal. You do like they do there in Mumbai or whatever. You go get a, you know, some corrugated iron and you put a little thing there on the pavement and you stay there. You know, Rabbi Akavil didn't tell him that. He said, no, you carry on living the way you're living. They weren't living ostentatiously, but they had a dira. I mean, today you're going to live without a dira? For me, that's like food. Mental health is also survival. You tell your wife, listen, dear, you know, I learned the Chovas of Avos. We don't need a house. That's not basics. Basics is enough food to survive. We have food and water, and we don't need a house. So we're taking a, we got somebody gave me some cardboard stuff, and we're going to squat there in the neighbor's backyard or whatever. You know? Zov, that's not the law relevant. We can't live like that. You'll be depressed. You'll be dead in there. How long would it take you?
Yeah.
Your children would be embarrassed. Yeah. They couldn't function. So when we talk about, that's what I said, we talk about basic needs, it means more than just food. Basically, what you need to survive, minimum, what you need to survive.
Right.
Yeah, he says food, but I can't imagine that Rabbi would tell anybody who comes to see him that he doesn't have a panasa. What are you worried about? You got enough food. Yeah, you got enough food to survive today. You got enough. Yeah, but where am I going to sleep tonight? Yeah, there's plenty park benches. There's plenty. What do you need? There's the whole park there in Tel Aviv. There, plenty of people can sleep there. Lo chasel chamakom lishon. No, that's ridiculous.
You could probably
maybe you could a smaller apartment. No, maybe you can make a smaller apartment, but I don't know. That's already you're getting into. You have to make personal cheshbonos. I'm just being an example from Rav Hillel. Yeah. All Rav Hillel told him was, is you're making properly shtadlus. What you're doing now is called verity shtadlus. Hashem Yazor, you keep going. So you had to borrow. That's what I'm saying. Is sometimes you have to borrow. Sometimes you have to take gift. But that's what you have to do in order to get your minimum, right. Your minimum basic needs. Your minimum basic needs is you've got enough heating in winter. Tell me, no, you don't put on the heat in winter. You know, you get frostbite. It's fun. You know what I'm saying? So you lose a few toes along the way. Nishkafelach. You've got enough food, that's it.
Yeah.
No, a person needs heating. It could be today even, and I'm saying this with all honesty, and I've heard this from big people, air conditioning today, depending where you live and what your matzav is, where your dairy is or whatever. Some flats, maybe not, I don't know. But by and large, there are many days today where it's not shaykh to function without an air conditioner. Not shaykh. So then you can learn. You can sit in there when it's 40 degrees outside and your dairy is north-facing and it's mamash beaming, boiling hot. It's 38 degrees in the salon. You can function. Your wife can cook in the kitchen. You can't live like that. So
I was hot at Orav today.
Huh?
With the windows open.
So I'll tell you what the problem is.
It wasn't that hot, but I was on.
The air conditioner's on.
Is it on?
The air conditioner's on. What's the problem? People want the windows open because of
the windows. Open. So yeah.
They
leave
the window open. So the window, the hot air comes in. The air conditioner's competing with the hot air. So in the afternoon, we close the windows. In the afternoon, we close the windows. There's not a lot of people. Then it's freezing in there. It's geschmack. Same as in the morning. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know the malos.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're living in Corona days, whatever. I don't know. Some people want it.
Fine. No.
I learned years ago. One thing I never get involved in because you'll never get it right. When I was in the Kailal, Baruch Baruch Shlomo, I was in charge of the building. I was the janitor there. So I had to put on the air conditioner, open the windows, close the windows or whatever. You can't win. Whatever you do,
some are hot, some are cold.
We moved to Eish Kodesh. When I moved to Eish Kodesh, I decided, and you know, you want to open windows, open windows.
Right.
Put on the heat in summer, put on the air conditioning, winter. I'm not getting it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't. Today was a bit uncomfortable with the windows open. So you get up and close the window.
It wasn't terrible. I wasn't really, complaining. I need an air conditioner. I just remember feeling a bit hot.
No, yeah. I had this hot air blowing in my face. I closed the window. If someone wants to go open it afterwards, they can open it. I closed the window. I wasn't making it. If someone had gone open it, I wouldn't close it again. Yeah. I'm not going to get into a battle. Right. But I closed it and no one did anything, so it was fine. Anyway, that's just getting back. We'll end there, but I'm just saying that's the... He's going to give us some guidance and some hadrach on what's called minimum needs. But you have to use your seichel. I don't think it's that hard to work out what your seichel is. And then check it with someone who's objective. You don't even have to go to a big roof. Just find someone who's objective, doesn't have your negias. And ask him, what do you think? You might be living below where you should be living. Could be that you're being unnecessarily cruel to your family because you're trying to be mistaken for mute and you're trying to do that. Yeah. You know?
Also,
it's a lot of cheshbonos.
The man is guaranteed his, Chovos HaLevavos teaches that the man is guaranteed his parnasa, his basics, but not the wife and children, right?
Yeah, but we saw from a Moshe there, and we saw from, I can't remember who it was, the money that you have to feed your wife and whatever, that's guaranteed as well. I mean, she's guaranteed her sustenance as well.
Oh.
That's what Moshe said. So that she'll get either through you or she'll get it from somewhere else. But she's also going to survive one way or another. She's not going to die of starvation while you're eating sushi. You know, that's not going to happen.
You're saying just her purposely? You're not saying the children?
Ramosha spoke about the wife. Because what about your children? So that would fit into the other category. What about the people who work in your factory? So they're like you. Means I'm guaranteed my basic sustenance. Yeah. I'm that's it. And so are you. Right. So now you work for me. That means you're not guaranteed your basic sustenance anymore. For sure you are. It's just Hashem decreed that your panos is going to come via me. So Hashem gives me extra money to give to you. If Hashem wants you to starve, then whatever reason is, I won't be able to give you money that day. And then you won't have money to eat and you'll starve. Because that's what Hashem decided. But everybody has a gzeira that they're going to get whatever they need. I don't exactly know what the Chovos HaLevavos means, and all the Mefarshim don't learn like that. So I don't exactly know what to do with that. That a woman's not guaranteed her sustenance. So what does that mean? It means even if Hashem wants her to live, she'll die. Hashem wants you to be alive. He's going to give you what you need to be alive. So you have to work out what your basic minimum needs are. I mean, our great-grandparents would come and look at the way we live, you know, or just in different countries. Look at a person who lives in America. When he comes to Eretz Yisrael, suddenly he manages to live in a quarter the amount of floor space that he had in America. He doesn't have wall-to-wall carpets here. He doesn't have many, many of the luxuries that in America you can't live without. We told him, you come here, you see, actually you can live without it. So you have to know what's already ostentatious, your temidai, and what is basic needs. Hilchostock, you have the same Charlie. If you've got to give a bar, he's lost all his money. You've got to put him back on his feet. You've got to give him back what he's accustomed to. So where exactly you draw the line there, it's also not so posh. No, we have these are complicated discussions because we have so much. You know, in a time where people had nothing, so it was much easier to work out what your minimum is, and it was easier to be a Baal B'tochen. Today it's much harder to be a Baal B'tochen because we need a lot. And if we don't get everything we need, our B'tochen starts taking a dive. So it's much harder to work on these sugyas. We'll discuss a little bit of this about when he's not getting what he wants, what he's not getting enough. And also, how do we just get some, he's going to go into all of this about what's the basic minimums or whatever, you know? Do you have to have milk in your coffee? Who says you have to have milk in your coffee? Drink the coffee without milk. Mm. You know, you could save a fortune not having milk. You know, whatever I'm saying, a person has to know for himself, you know, that might be a little bit, you have to know where you're holding. The biggest test of all of this is where your simcha levels. When you're busy being mamayat and you're busy cutting back and you're living this life of poverty and whatever, Chaim Tsar, are you besimcha? You know, Rabbi Lashev lived a very frugal existence. First of all, because I never had anything. And even when he had a bit more, we had a job, but he never, whatever, he lived on nothing. But he didn't need a psychologist. You know, he was never depressed or miserable or dysfunctional or whatever. He was a real basimcha. So then fine, then you're doing good. And you're doing great. But if you see that you're cutting back on things and you don't have this or whatever, then you're losing out badly. I told you the story with Rav Scheinberg, Rav Olvi with the ice creams. Sometimes you need to have an ice cream as well. And the simchas achaim a person gets. Just to use his seichel with all these things. Hashem put resources in the world. He gave us resources to utilize. You have to use those as well. Everything in the world. You have to be an adult about it, not a child. But to have something nice and to, we're not in this world to be tortured and suffer. Hashem put us in a beautiful world. Enjoy it. But if you don't have the money, now you have to start making cheshbonos. Do you borrow to have the ice cream? Or no, I'll live without the ice cream. I'll have bread and cheese roll. I don't, those are very hard personal shalas. They're not poshed at all. I think the most important thing for us on our level we're holding on is to remember just to be normal. If we could just be normal, that's already a very high level today. You know, but once again, we're talking in theory and we're talking in principles. Each case you have to weigh it up and you'll see it's not so difficult. If you just apply the principles and use your seichel, get someone who's objective, so you get your negias out of the way, it's not so complicated.
What does negia mean?
Vested interests. You as a therapist should know all about that.
Yeah.
We are very driven by our vested interests. Our what we call bribery. Because bribery blinds the eyes of the wise. It means the vested interest is what blinds us. We want to achieve a certain goal, so we cook up a whole construct of logics and whatever in order to justify that need. And we're not even sure that it's there. Sometimes it's a very deep, subconscious, buried need. And that's what's driving us. Cheers, Yoni. Take good care. So,
I'm going to have to go, Rabbi.
Yeah, I also have to go. We've gone too late. Yeah, so I'm going to run.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next week. I'll see you tomorrow then, Bezrat Hashem.
Yeah.